Good afternoon, everyone. I, like my previous speakers and colleagues, want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being here. I think every life touched is an opportunity to teach and express information to, so that one can go to their own area and certainly look at what they're doing and hopefully take lessons from all that they've heard from back to where they're at. Last but not least would be Zirkle. That's me, Z. I also have my esteemed colleague, Kyle Della Roca, with me in the audience today, along with many of my colleagues from Health and Human Services Agency in San Diego, as well as Price Cherries in San Diego State University. I certainly have no affiliations. It's a 501c3 public family philanthropic group, and I'm with San Diego State University. One of the areas that I wanted to talk about today is City Heights in San Diego. San Diego has a population of about 3 million. In San Diego, we have an area called the City Heights area, which is about 74,000 people. It is a refugee resettlement area in San Diego, so we speak anywhere about 81 to 83 different languages and dialects are spoken in City Heights. 42.4% of the residents are foreign-born. It's 100% free and reduced meals. This area in City Heights is considered one of the Hoover Cluster area for San Diego Unified School District, which is the third largest school district in the state of California and the eighth largest in the United States. In San Diego and within City Heights, we decided that we really needed to have many people working towards same goals. We may all have a little bit of a different different lens or a different angle to what those same results are. But we decided in City Heights that we would create the City Heights Partnership for Children, which is a lot of what our first speaker spoke about, of really pulling everyone together, government, non-government, philanthropic agencies, universities, et cetera, to work together with a collective impact place-based strategy. Where when we talk about it, zip code does matter. And I think that many of you in this audience, I kind of feel like I'm probably speaking to the choir here, is that we do know that zip code does matter. In this area, particular area of San Diego, we have one of the highest rates of asthma, to our second speaker. We also have the highest rate of obesity in the area, child welfare services, and also incarceration. When those are incarcerated, they go off to be put into the prison system, but then when they're discharged from their prison system, they come back into the same zip code in which they went to. So when we're looking at our school-based health centers in City Heights, one of our schools has been in school-based health center business for over 20 years, and that is our high school. We look at our schools in City Heights related to being a community school. And a community school basically is where a school represents an area that is a safe place for the entire community and neighborhood to practice or to come to. We hold church activities on the weekends and in the evening, as well as adult learning centers, teaching English, etc. So our goal with community schools is to really tie, and here's key, is tying education, community involvement, and improvement with health and social services all together. Those of you in this audience probably are very familiar with that. It's very difficult to tie those together. Those that are in the educational arena really think academic and educational perspective. Those that are in the healthcare arena normally think healthcare, but those of us that are public health, we really look at the whole child, the whole neighborhood, the whole population. And health doesn't just say disease-oriented to us. It's about wellness, health and wellness. So as I said, we had a school-based health center over 20 years ago. Now in this one particular Hoover cluster, which feeds 10 elementary schools into 2 junior high schools into 1 high school of that San Diego Unified School District, which is 226 schools large, we've actually looked at the evaluation of the community and then changed the model in which our school-based health center is driven and creates. If you look here, each one of the ovals is a school-based health center. What we've created is a feeder system of a neighborhood into that school-based health center. So the school-based health center is their health home, and it's connected with the schools that are around it. In City Heights, it's a very dense population where the mean age is 28. And again, when you're talking about having being a refugee resettlement with high Latino community as well as African community, you have Asian, you have multi-generations living in the same dwelling. So these schools are all about 2 to 3 blocks away from one another that then feed into a health and wellness center. They function, as the other speakers have said, they function in City Heights. One of the things that we looked at was who was providing service for this one particular area. We had 2 FQHCs, federally qualified healthcare organizations, that were providing services to about 98-99% of this population. So I decided that we had to have both federally qualified healthcare organizations working in one particular area. School-based health and wellness center. So 3 of our school-based health and wellness centers actually have both FQHCs that service about 98-99% of our population for that area. The 2 FQHCs work side by side. They cannot overlap in time, so each one puts in 19.5 hours, being 40 hours for the entire week from 7 until 5. The healthcare workers come in the morning and they start setting up for the practitioners to come in. We have 3 or 4 exam rooms, a medical office. We have a clinical psychologist. So it's a very comprehensive suite of programs that we have there. Because of the FQHCs, we do cover all patients, those that are insured and those that are uninsured, those that are documented, those that are undocumented. When we look at the school-based health centers and have the FQHCs, one of the things that we decided to do in City Heights was not only put the 2 FQHCs together, but create a nurse-centric model. And when I say nurse-centric model, I'm actually talking about the school nurse. The school nurse is the hub. The school nurse is a care coordinator, not only for his or her school, but when I go back to that other map where the other schools are feeding into, that school nurse talks to the other school nurses, identifies the CHDPs or the well child checks and all of the different treatments that children need to have, and then they push all of the kids into that one school-based health center. The school nurse also, because I have 2 FQHCs, the school nurse really does function in making sure that the entire family is happy and well working together. And when I say the entire family, I'm talking about us, both FQHCs family members, which traditionally are competitors, working together. But when you bring it down to the provider level, every day, and you've got that school nurse really pulling everybody together and working together, it's really easy for all of us to say we're here about the children. And so if they come on a day that La Maestra is there, La Maestra triages and sends them over to another school or sends them back the next day for Mid-City. So our nurse practitioners and physicians are constantly talking together and talking through and with the school nurse. The only piece that our school health and wellness centers do not have is X-ray. We have everything else in terms of our complementary of services. As our previous speaker spoke about, one of the greatest needs was to really look at data. Data across all of the systems. In San Diego, we had a project called the Beacon Project, which was funded, which was a nationally funded project, 1 of 8 in the United States, to bring healthcare providers together, hospitals, mind you, and community clinics. Nobody thought about schools. Where are our children? Our children are in school. What do our school nurses do? Our school nurses take care of the health and wellness of our children. Should we be involved in health information exchange? Absolutely, we should be involved in health information exchange. So we started to think, and myself and my colleague Kyle, I'm a public health nurse. I'm a nurse. I'm not a data kind of person, but I do love data. But to really look at what could we create, and we actually worked with our colleagues up in Alameda, with Dr. Claire Brendis and group, and we looked at their efforts to outcomes database, and we said, what could we do in working with our nurses? Here's key: allowing nurses to access data visits electronically. I had to get the buy-in of the school nurses. I can say this because I am a nurse. We're not the easiest people to work with. And when you talk about computers, it goes even further. But I said, okay, what do we need? What should we be collecting? At the end of every month, when you have to report to the district, what are the things you report? And how is our system internally at the school working for you? They said, it's not. We don't like it. We don't put information into it. And at the end of the month, I'm counting. I'm counting on my sticky notes, I'm counting on my computer, I'm counting in several different areas. So I said, hey, okay, what if we got together and we created something that at the end of the month you could press a button and wham, there you have it, all of the things that you did. The number of students that came in through your office, the number of students that you sent home, the number of students that you did any kind of screenings on. So you make it worthwhile to them, they're going to buy into it and then move it forward. It was my team of nurses that came up with the City Heights Health Information Linked Database System, the CHILD system. It took my nurses 5 minutes in a retreat to come up with that. I thought, this is fabulous. And so we look at the CHILD system, and it was created in an access database. So it's something that can be replicated no matter where you are in the United States, no matter how rural you are in. Access comes with the suite with your computer program. So we created an access database that enables comparisons between schools and districts. It aggregates, it helps us with aggregate data to export data from the health, for health science research, and for a clinic utilization and cost analysis. And it provides instant summaries for my nurses and everyone else. So when we look at City Heights, we've got the neighborhood of City Heights, which is who is served, and it's 0 through 19. All of the kids 0 through 19 are served. Thus far, we have 110,000 visits in the database, serving over 14,000 individual unique characters, individual unique clients. The system, the CHILD system is here. We've got San Diego Unified School District system. So we all know, and I'm sure many of you have heard, you've got your FERPA data and your HIPAA data. FERPA is school, education, HIPAA, health and wellness. Well, having my school nurse be the center here, she actually has access to FERPA data and she or he has access to HIPAA data. So they're connected right there in the middle. We've got La Maestra, who has their electronic medical record system, and Mid-City has electronic medical record system. We've actually had each one of these increase their fields in which they are collecting so that it's not duplicative, because we did start out with that. It's not duplicative, but on the back end, they're putting their visits and information into the CHILD system, and on the front end, you've got the FERPA data coming from, or the educational data coming from the school system. One of the new tools that we created a couple of years ago, and this is actually the brainchild of Kyle, this new tool is called the Community Health Early Warning System, the CHEW system. It came about because we, at the end of a school year, we had the Health and Human Services Agency call us and say that there was a patient who was positive for pertussis. And who had that child been exposed to, and did anyone else come into the school-based health center with those signs and symptoms? Within 2 seconds, all of that information was brought up. But what it didn't bring up was actually the longitude and latitude of where each one of these kids lived in the neighborhood. So what Kyle created was a early warning system, and if multiple visitors, it's by a threshold of three or four, within a period of time, are flagged, and so then the CHU system recognizes that there's a potential for communicable disease, and they send up a high alert so that the school nurse can bring them all in to go into the school-based health center so that they can say, do we have pertussis, do we have something else, or do we have nothing? And we just got a lot of, you know, kids with snotty noses and same thing that everybody else has during this time of the year. So our school-based health data system really is very easy. It looks like this, and each one has a click and a drop-down screen that gives all of the information as to a click on for the school nurse. If the school nurses were going to use it, we had to make it user and easy and user-friendly. Reports can be generated for all visitors, for all guests. Guests are those kids that are 0 to 5 that are not in school yet. Students, La Maestra visits, Mid-City visits, or the school nurse visits. So we can take this information and pull it out however we want to. We look at chief complaint, diagnosis, treatments, education, referrals. Chief complaints and diagnosis can go up to 5. Here is an example of one of the reports for chief complaints at this middle school. So this is what the school nurse and the clinics have at their fingertips. Here's student referrals and then students at home. So when we look at the gender difference, we've got here we have 52.1% male. So that's pretty good. As our previous speaker was saying, it's a little difficult to get those males in there. And then female. So it's pretty evenly distributed. When we look at the types of insurance, it really is mainly Medi-Cal, uninsured, and undocumented. Age range, again, kind of 5 up to 18 are the highest. And again, here's where we look at distance of where the child lives, 0.5 miles, 0.5 to 1 miles away, so that we can look at if there are clusters in a neighborhood happening with the illnesses as well. Race, ethnicity, again, really high Latino population, African, not African American, but African, and then our Asian population is divided into two here with Vietnamese. When we look at API, when we look at school attendance at one of the schools, I pulled out the school attendance from the time that the school-based health center opened, which was from here prior to opening school-based health center to the very first month that we opened the school-based health center, went up tremendously. And you can see it stayed up. With the exception of this last year, you see this purple bar? It's up and it goes down. Well, the school had one principal for this entire time, and then the last year our principal became the superintendent. So when the principal changed, so did some of the attendance of the children. But that one school principal, who is now our school superintendent, Cindy Martin, said that in her school, nothing changed besides opening the school-based health center during these 3 years of time. So when you see that increase in attendance, she actually says that it's definitely related to the school-based health center. With API score, again, when you look at the API score, we had 1 year here where Superintendent Martin said this was No Child Left Behind, in which all teachers got a stipend of $10,000. And that 1 year, and then it went right back down. So I guess some kids were left behind here. When you keep going, the only years that there were significant increases in API score, which is their state score of academic proficiency, it went up every single year that we had the school-based health center. And again, a slight decrease when we changed the principal. So, you know, when we can look at this overall health status, I've given you kind of a really broad overview of some of the things that we can extract from these databases and how we've incorporated working the databases together so that we have multiple databases convening into one, that school-based health centers really do make a difference. Our school-age children seen were 33.37%. Were social referrals, so we can look at the referral rate. We can look at where they went. We can look at if they in fact did go to referral or not. So in conclusion, implementing a health information exchange, and it truly is an exchange, it's an exchange of data amongst all of these electronic medical systems, and having the school nurse as the case manager, who is the care coordinator, enhancing care and improving students' ability to learn and thrive. The HIE is a standardized data collection system that can inform policy changes, practice changes, and create opportunities that positively impact both students and the community. So with that, I'll defer to questions. Thank you.
All the speakers did an excellent job of staying right on time, so that's great and great presentations. So we do have time for questions from any of our speakers, of course, except Caramino had to leave to get his flight. So it's pretty informal, so maybe, yeah, if you guys just want to turn, yes, please. And I'm just going to, I'm sorry, I'm going to repeat the question because of recording, not because.
Sure. I'm Cleveland. I run an intergenerational public charter school. Two questions. San Diego is amazing. They have four intergenerational county coordinators. So do you do any intergenerational work brought into play? Second question, if I may. Does anybody know in the audience or anybody whether CMS gave any of their innovation money to schools? Because it does seem to be the asthma.
Okay, so there's two questions. The first one was about intergenerational clinics, programs, specifically in San Diego, and the other one was if anyone knew anything about if CMS gave innovation grants to schools, and I do know they did in Miami and Dane County.
They did in Miami?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if they were tracking asthma particularly. You might know that better, but I do know in Miami they got money. If you just wouldn't mind coming to the mic, only because they're recording it. Thank you.
So I can speak just quickly to the issue of CMS and other government monies for school health efforts. There were innovation grants specifically given out to several counties for school-based efforts, you know, targeting attendance. But in addition, HRSA introduced a new school-based health center program a few years ago that has been very popular with applicants. So we are seeing a lot of new access points for healthcare being opened up at schools across the country, which again increases students' ability to stay in school because they can get some of the services that they previously would have had to go to the ER or an external care provider right there on site at school and then go back to class. If they need bronchodilators, for example, they can get a dose, a puff or two, they can go back to class and keep going with the school day.
So I echo what she was just talking about, is that we did have quite a few HRSA grants, and certainly through across the state of California, this last HRSA grant funding, there's been two rounds of funding. This last HRSA grant funding funded over 40 school-based health centers in the state of California alone. Prior to that, in San Diego, we've had asthma initiatives, certainly. And as far as your question with working with multi-generational, I think that we do some of that work just by virtue of who we are serving. And most of the, in City Heights, we have the multi-generational families in which we have the grandparents that are usually the caretakers and coming to the school with the kids. However, I think we've got a lot of work to do related to that. It certainly has not been one of the areas that we've put a great emphasis on. We did just open a teen center in City Heights that is multi-generational with one of our partners, La Maestra Clinic,